made it.
Yes.
Wow. JC Surette, thank you so much to be here at No BS with SB. I know you for a long time.
Like 2009.
When
I got to Montreal, you're one of the first comedians I met.
Exactly. Yeah. So 2009, so 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You come to Montreal from where?
I'm from Moncton, New Brunswick.
Moncton?
That's where I started doing comedy. I started 2 years before coming here. Came here for L'École Nationale.
11 years full time?
12.
12 years full time?
Full time.
Not full time, huh? Because the first 2 years in New Brunswick?
Yeah.
Do you have a lot of gig there?
Well, what happened is the Yuck Yucks opened in Moncton, New Brunswick. And we were like four regular open micers.
Okay.
They would often, like, here and there.
Okay, they bring the medal and the headliner, and you, because you live there, you're an opener.
Yeah, like most weekends I would open, so I would have the open mic on Wednesday, and then do the Thursday, Friday, Saturday show when I was starting out.
Okay, so let's start with JC Surette, who decide to fucked up his life with comedy. Huh? So why? Why you need so much attention, and who said to yourself, you're funny, man. You should do comedy. You remember?
For me, I was a shy kid. I think I'm still kind of reserved.
I think you're still shy.
I don't feel like I'm shy on stage because I.
You're not. Exactly.
But I'm not
you're
reserved.
Yeah, I think on stage you're more charismatic, but charismatic in the sense or huggable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I hear you.
You're huggable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because the first time, the way you talk, your story, you know. Anyway, we're gonna come back with that. But so you're a shy guy in life.
I don't feel like
reserved.
I'm a bit more reserved.
Low profile.
I feel like
you're low profile.
And I feel a lot of Canadians were like that when we're at a party.
You're right.
We're more like observing.
You're right.
I like to make a few people laugh,
yes.
But I don't necessarily feel like I want to get the whole room's attention.
No, like me.
Yeah.
I know.
You're not even like that much.
No, man. Maybe when I start, I need attention, you know, in my family, you know.
Yeah.
Because everybody wants attention, so we fight for attention. Yeah. Do you have a sister, brother?
Yeah. Two sisters that are older than me, so I'm the youngest by
so I have three sisters, so you know what I mean, you know.
Yeah.
The girls need attention. And so, did you make people laugh in your family?
Yeah, I feel like my family's funny, like everybody, we all make each other laugh.
Okay.
And I observe a lot. I mean, it shows in my stand-up, but in life too, like not necessarily always like the funniest observation.
I know.
But like I like to observe. It's
yes.
Like it's second nature.
I know, exactly. But how did you?
I was studying to be a teacher.
Teacher?
Yeah, I was studying to be
a teacher. In mathematics?
I was going to teach history. I wanted to teach history in high school.
And just before, for people who understand where you live, it's bilingual too.
Fully. Like, New Brunswick is bilingual, but like, it's mostly mostly English in the west, mostly French on the north shore, but Moncton is just fully bilingual.
Because you speak two languages there?
Yes.
Mostly in French or in English?
Well, I went to school in French.
Okay.
I lived in Dieppe, which was mainly French. Moncton is like 50-50, but like the Dieppe where I was mostly French. At home, we spoke French.
So what?
And I watched TV in English.
Oh, you watched TV in English?
All the culture, like the music I listened to as a kid.
Wow.
It was in English.
Speak French at home, but watch TV in English.
Yeah, like one of the things I find funny when I talk about someone talks about the Simpsons here, like other comedians.
Simpson in French?
They'll do the line in French, and I'm like, that's so crazy that you watched it in French.
You're right. But I think comic is less than a movie, like Arnold Schwarzenegger in French.
Yeah,
it's weird.
Yeah.
But the Simpson maybe because the voice in French was great. It's still great, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, it's still great, but it's funny to me that we're talking about the same show, but their references are like...
It's Drummondville. Yeah. What? Drummondville? So why you start in... you could do a show in French too there.
Yeah, but I started in English, and I didn't do French until I came to the first time I did an audition for L'École Nationale du Mont. I had never done it. So I went there and I translated everything like just on.
Wow, we're gonna talk back. We're gonna come back because don't worry.
Yeah.
I recorded it.
Yeah, it's registered.
I'm here because I want to know everything about you. But the most important thing I think for me and the reason why I do a podcast, it's how you start.
Yeah.
What's happened? Who decide? Who convinced you to go on stage? You're a reserve guy. Mm. So who said? Is it your decision or somebody who said?
It was me. But what happened is I was starting to be a teacher, and I would get a lot of comments on, like, we do a lot of presentations. If you're going to be a teacher, in university, there's a lot of presentations. And one of the things that came out very often is that I would make people laugh.
Whoa.
In this subject, like, I would find a twist or an irony to keep their attention. And I felt like laughter was a good way to know if they're still listening.
Oh, okay.
And to connect. It's a great tool of connection.
Yes.
It's not, and so I would get that comment a lot, and I'd make my friends laugh, and it felt like it was pretty funny, but being a comedian was just
it's not in your mentality.
There was no comedy club at that time, so it's it's just a thing that's on TV.
It's on TV. It's far. It's not for you.
Yeah.
So
I stopped my bachelor's to take like a year off because I was in my last year.
Okay.
And way too young to commit my whole life to this, and I'm like, I'm.
Why did you decide to do that? What's happened? Did you have somebody die in your family?
No.
Your girlfriend left you?
No, I just
kinda, like that.
That panic, but I was just like, I went out west. I went to Alberta.
With your thumbs?
No, I flew there with a few.
You pick up cherry?
No, we worked in construction.
Construction, okay.
And I played poker a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, and so I stayed there for like 6 months.
Okay. Just chill, find who you are. How old are you at the time?
This is 12 years ago, so yeah, I was
23.
And I'm still looking, and I'm like, what's
my purpose in life?
What's my purpose? So I was doing construction, and then I started doing like little odd jobs in Calgary.
Okay.
So I was up north for a while, but based in Calgary, and then I started doing these jobs like that bored the shit out of me. So it was so monotonous, it was so simple. So I started, after work I would start writing, and I knew nobody there. So I was just by myself there, and I just started writing to just cope with all of that. And I started writing, and it wasn't jokes, it was just thoughts.
Thoughts.
And then I came back at Christmas that year, and after the Christmas break, I'm even more lost. Coming back from Alberta 6 months, but I don't feel like going back there. I don't know what I want to do.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm just like, I'm still writing. And then
when you say you come back in your house of your parents?
In Moncton, yeah.
So you don't have a rent, you don't rent anything. You live in with your parents.
But I moved out right away. I spent Christmas break there, and then I rented something in the.
You remember what you rent?
A friend of a friend had a place, they had a room, so I went there.
Okay, so you rent a room with other people.
Yeah.
Okay, and you're there.
So I'm
you
there.
Don't know what you want to do. You came back. You're more melee. What is melee in English? You know, confused.
More
confused.
Yeah, I don't know what I want to do.
Yeah.
And then I started thinking. I was like, I kind of want to travel. How can I travel? And I'm walking on the street and I see this. Yuck Yucks.
Oh, open. Just open.
And then nobody, like I didn't know.
Yeah.
And it was like, open mic, sign up, and then I literally paced in front of it.
What is paced? Oh, you
walking, like, thinking like...
Wow. But you know already what is an open mic?
Not really. So no, I'm just like, it's open, it says open to amateurs.
Okay, you have a beautiful poster.
Yeah, it's and the poster's there. Yeah, I think you're funny or something like that.
Yeah, right.
So I'm walking, and I'm like, I'm trying to convince myself just to go in and put my name down.
Why?
Because I'm like,
it's like a revelation. It's like Charlie Chaplin with his hat. Remember in the movie?
Yeah.
Like he was in the big place of all of the stuff he need to a costume, and he in the movie it's like he saw the hat and he saw the cane.
Yeah.
And the movement arrives, you know. So you feel like how many times you saw a poster? You think you're a good stripper?
Do you think you can do open heart surgery?
Yeah, exactly. And you said, yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Something arrived inside you.
Yeah,
you know?
It was
just too strong
to go try it.
So what did you go inside?
So yeah, it took me like 40 minutes of
Listen, guy, this is why he's here. Because you made a choice. You wait 40 minutes.
Yeah,
before you go inside,
and it was like,
you're lucky it was not luck.
Yeah, after because, 40 minutes. Yeah.
No, because it wasn't the day.
Yeah.
So you go inside.
And there's people working in the bar.
Like they're going to open soon?
And it's next Wednesday. I don't remember what day this was, but it's next Wednesday. So I give them my name. They're like, yeah, you're on. So I came in. I had a
no. You sign.
Yeah.
You go back outside.
Yeah. And I'm like,
now you have to. You need a 5 minutes.
Exactly.
Do you regret when you sign, or you something? You said, wow.
No, because I don't know what it was. And when I did it, I got addicted right away. Like being on stage.
No. Don't go there.
Yeah.
I know you. Me. I want like a doctor, and you know. Okay. So you go home. Did you tell to your family, or you move with the other guy? I signed at Yuck Yucks for an open mic. Did you tell to someone, or
no,
you keep that for you?
I kept it for myself.
Okay. So the next week, what did you do? Did you think about that? Is it something? Is it a stress, or you just pumped? You want the Wednesday arrive as soon as possible? You know what I mean? Did you start to watch comedy?
Well, I already watched comedy.
Okay, already. Did you went there, take a beer to just see how it's worked? No.
No, I've never seen an open mic when I went on.
Wow, you never saw professional comedy too?
No.
So you arrived.
I'd seen it on TV. I used to watch a comedy at Club 54, and then Just for Laughs, they would pass on in the afternoon. So that's what, for a long time, starting in high school, I would watch that, and there was something about that.
Yeah.
That to me was like,
yeah, but
just having these thoughts, and I was
It's always thoughts, you know. Like when I saw the Olympics, I said, "Wow, I would love to run," you know, the 100 meters. You know, I said at the end, "Oh no, I don't want to put all the effort." Maybe,
yeah.
So you went there.
Yeah.
It was empty. Did you have to bring people?
No.
So you went there. Was how many people on the crowd? You know.
The first show, there was like 20 people.
20 people.
And this.
How many comic?
We were 5.
Okay.
And this,
do you remember where you were in the pacing?
Like in the middle.
So you saw two guys bomb before you. You remember
that? I think I was. I didn't even listen. I was so nervous.
So nervous.
Yeah.
Okay. Listen to that. He was so nervous. Did you prepare the 5 minutes, or you thought the joke's gonna arrive on stage?
No, I wrote like these
ideas.
And 5 minutes was so long. It felt so long.
Oh yeah, 5 minutes. Yeah. It's. So when he said your name and you went on stage, what's happened to you? Did you feel a difference? Like, because you know, you wait, because all the process, I always talk about that in the podcast, because people don't understand, but the process, it's not on the stage, it's before.
Yeah.
It's the 30 seconds, the 2 minutes.
Yeah.
So, sometimes when you start to be good and you start to understand the process, we are less stressed. It's not the day, but maybe the 30 seconds when the adrenaline arrives. So you're there, you're waiting, you go on stage.
Yeah.
What's happened?
Well, the luxury I had is that I didn't know what the hell that it was. I didn't prepare that much, but I remember I told
you
two stories and I got laughs.
Yeah.
The first time it went well. from the no, second time.
Let's the second time later. Yeah. No, we're gonna go there. Okay, because no, it's very important. I told you before, yeah. We want to know you, everything about your process. Okay, so you said the first time you did well.
Yeah.
So you did well, so you remember you on stage?
I remember just getting laughs, but I had no...
Remember the red lights?
Yeah.
Remember everything, so you're there?
Yeah.
And you don't realize, like, oh my God, I don't have anything to say, and you start to bomb or be scared, or... You start to say, hey, it's for me, yeah. On stage.
I was having so much fun, but...
Wow.
That first time was...
So when you get out of this, everybody
what? I can't compare it to anything. I'm just, laughed. The people are laughing.
Yeah.
And if I had a set like that first set now, I'd probably like go home crying.
Yeah. It's normal. Yeah. So you get off of stage. Do you know if the host said to you, hey, you're good? Somebody said to you, you're good after the show? What did you do? Did you take a beer, celebrate? No, or you go home right away?
I left. I went to another bar.
Oh, you went to another club?
Yeah. Because I was just... You did not. So strange. Yeah. But everybody was leaving too.
Okay. So you celebrate alone. You go another bar.
I celebrate. I was just so confused by...
By what's happened.
Yeah.
In positive or negative?
It was just this is what I do now.
You want... Oh, like right away?
Right away.
Wow. So now let's talk about the second show. How long the second show arrived?
The next week.
The next week at the same place?
They open mic, but this time it's a contest. It's a contest, so it's full.
It's full? And what is the prize?
You get a spot at the Great Canadian Laughter. Okay. You remember that with Yuck Yucks? They had that?
Yeah.
But there was one from every club.
Okay.
And this is my second show.
Second show, what's happened?
And now you have like these pros that want to get this prize.
Oh.
So the show is like the caliber of the show is
way
higher, and this time it didn't go as well as the first time. Like it went okay, but I remember like it was going well, and near the end, I just had nothing, like no juice to like. And but that even anchored it even more, because I saw like really good pros, and it was like
yeah. Now you stay, you take a beer, and you watch.
Yeah. Well. Yeah, that show I watched the whole.
Okay, so what
was? It was a contest, and I thought I had a shot.
Yeah, wow, you're already cocky.
I'm not cocky. I'm just like.
No, but cocky with yourself, not with other people. Yeah. You know, because you said I can do it. I can do this.
But I didn't. Like, a lot of these comedians had been doing it for like 5 years.
Exactly.
I'm like, okay, and I didn't understand yet, like that. There was a process. I didn't understand yet that these guys and girls had
the job.
Taken these jokes and done them like a thousand times. Taking stuff out, putting stuff in.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that. No, it's just like home.
Yeah, it's normal.
It's pretty naturally funny. Like,
So every week you start to do that?
Yeah. So I start coming back, and the owner of the club, Mark Sauvé.
Sauvé. Is it still open, this club?
No.
Okay.
No.
So this guy helped you?
Well, he was running the show. He was a professional comedian, and he was running the show. So he would talk to me about certain things that I would do, and then I started coming and opening. After like a month and a half of doing open mics and doing okay.
It was only this club there, huh? No other room?
No. I did, for the first year, I only did that.
First year, every Wednesday, you go there, open mic, you don't do spot the weekend.
After like a month,
you start to do spot?
Yeah.
Wow.
And then I saw how hard that was, because it's not an open mic.
No.
People have
expectations.
Bomb. Oh, yeah.
Solid bomb.
And then you don't want to stay, but you stay and watch the other acts, and now... It's even better pros than the solid amateurs.
Yeah. You saw.
So now I'm watching like a 45-minute set, but I'm going every night, so I'm watching the same 45.
Yes.
Five times.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh, okay.
Okay.
And then
Yeah.
And then I would stay. After like when I started doing the regular spots, then I would stay. I like the comics usually wanted to go have a beer, so yeah. I'd like take them somewhere.
Yeah. But why? Why you know it's tough, you know it's more than what you expected. Why you decide to continue? Is it the ego? Is it like I'm still able to do that, and I realize all the hard work.
It was just
you know what I mean? Because
it was just an epiphany.
Normally, when people saw the real situation, they quit. You know, yeah. It's like, okay, well, it was fun. It was a big project, you know, but you know, it's not for me. But it's still for you in your head.
To me, at that time, I was just like,
nothing to lose.
Nothing to win, nothing to lose. Just, this is just my reality now.
You don't think about teacher again.
Not at this time. Okay. I'm so into this
thing. Are you that like that in general in life?
Yeah, well, I played sports too, and I was like that when I played soccer and hockey. Okay. I was like,
yes. Like, so for the last year, tack, do spot. You have a mentor, the guy at the club.
Yeah, and now I have mentors every week coming in.
Every
all
week.
All these pros.
Yes.
That
they give you some tip.
Most of them were so generous.
Wow.
So generous. This is now that I'm like 12 years in, I feel like I owe it to every new comedian what they gave me.
Yes.
Their time, their like.
Yes.
What I thought were stupid questions, but weren't. To them, it was just like, yeah, we've been there. And
yeah.
Like,
exactly.
And they. This was my school before L'École de l'humour that I learned from.
So let's.
Veterans.
So okay. So after 1 year and a half, you said, 1 year there.
And the club closed.
The club closed.
Yeah. So,
whoa.
So we start.
Cried? Did you cry? You know what I mean.
I panicked. And I wasn't good enough yet to start like traveling with it. So I'm stranded now, and.
So the club closed. What did you do?
Some of the comedians we started. A show at a restaurant, but there was open kitchen.
Open kitchen.
So you hear all the
like now.
And
you never play here.
I played here, and okay. It was open kitchen. Whereas like the kitchen, like it's very very noisy during the show. So all these factors, I was trying to go on. Between like les chansonniers.
Oh, yeah, the musician with
so,
singing.
So like, can I do your
no way, no
and
way.
And then I would like figure out like, fuck, there's
man.
No context.
Wow.
There's no context. I'm just going on,
yeah,
and I'm not even doing crowd work.
Wow.
I'm just going into my jokes.
Yeah.
People are like,
what's happened? He doesn't sing.
And then
who's this guy? What
yeah,
do you want?
I would do shows like that.
But okay, but the club closed. You should say, hey, I tried. No. The club closed. So how long did you try to get spot in restaurant or between musician before to move to Montreal?
What I did is, actually, when the Yucks was still open, I decided to go back to university.
Okay.
In theater.
In theater, what do you mean?
Art dramatique.
Yeah, no, I know, but you want to be a teacher in art dramatique?
No, I want to become an actor.
You want to be an actor?
I want to become a better comedian.
Okay.
I'm actually doing it to become a better comedian.
Okay.
Someone that after a show had given me the two Judy Carter books too.
Yeah.
So I started writing through that, and then when I went to that school, I realized how hard it was and the process, and it helped me a lot to build bits and to really go in.
How long you go there?
After 6 months in of stand up.
Six months.
Christmas. In September of that, I enrolled.
So the club closed after 6 months.
No. I'm. The club is still on.
Okay.
I'm doing theater.
Okay.
As it goes.
Yeah.
You
do both.
Yeah. So then. I'm just trying to go as much as possible. I'm learning acting.
You're learning fast.
I'm learning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Scripts and I'm learning to like inflict emotion in those things and
yes.
Then it translates to my stand-up.
Yes.
We're doing improv in theater school. And so now I'm doing these things together. And then I got a job at a hotel. I got a job. I was working at a hotel. I was doing that. And I was doing stand-up. I was a doorman at the hotel. It was perfect because either it's busy and I'm making tips.
Okay.
Or it's not busy and I can just wait.
Okay.
At the door and like.
And no conflict in general.
No.
You don't say I'm the doorman when you want.
No, the valet. You weren't.
Yeah.
No.
Not doorman in the bar.
Yeah. No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Yeah. So. You do open mic, you the cinema school, and you're a doorman. Yeah. Everything is great, and until until the Yuck Yuck close. When the Yuck Yuck close, everything's changed for you.
Yeah.
So you quit the theater?
I did 2 years in theater.
Okay.
After the first year, I tried L'École de l'humour, and I.
But the 2 years is in New Brunswick.
Yeah.
So you have to move.
Yeah. So after the first year of theater school, I went to audition for L'École Nationale de l'Humour. I don't get in.
Okay, for the people who don't know, we have a school in French to show you. It's expensive, huh, by the way.
Yeah.
It's at that time it was 1 year or 2 years for you?
2 years.
2 year, $15,000.
Yeah.
And they said no.
The first year they said no. And then.
It's far. It's a long drive.
Yeah.
How long it is?
It's embarrassing.
It's 8 hours?
Nine hours
to go there.
9, 10.
You do the audition. Did you sleep there or you go back home?
I had a friend there.
Okay.
My friend Sayed.
So?
Yeah, I stayed with him for a couple of days. I went to the audition.
Why you embarrass yourself at the audition?
It was just because I translated. I had
never it's in French.
I never done French.
Yeah.
So now I'm translating my jokes thinking that's easy.
Oh!
Thinking like everything's easy, not thinking of trigger words, you know, like that the jokes I had built, like it kind of put the surprise at the end, you know, I built it like that. So now I'm just translating. I feel like I'm very bilingual, but this like translating jokes is just.
It's not the same. It's another rhythm.
It's another muscle.
Oh yeah,
And I feel like I developed that muscle now, but I can have a new joke and then do it.
The 8 hour drive, you never prepare yourself. You are so confident.
I'm not confident. I just think this is the next thing I have.
So they said no.
I get a letter.
Oh, you got a letter when you came back.
So now I'm in. I'm back home, I get this letter and I get upset.
A letter in French?
Yeah. I get upset, I read the letter and I'm so upset.
Because you think you're gonna go?
No, I really want it.
Yeah.
I don't think anything at this point. Okay. Just like, I really want it and then I get a letter saying you're not funny.
Yeah. So what did you do?
So
You quit?
I did my second year of theater.
Yes.
And then I started doing more shows. I started a show at the university.
Okay.
So I was doing a weekly show and it was better.
The weekly show in the cafeteria of the student?
In the student bar.
Student bar, okay.
And so...
And start to be good.
So now I'm starting to be better. And the first summer after I got refused, I did a gig at Le Pays de la Sagouine.
It's a bar?
No, Pays de la Sagouine is an island.
An island.
In Bouctouche. And it's a theater island. A Sagouine is like this character from a book that won world prizes, you know?
Yeah.
In French.
Whoa.
So what I'm doing there is I'm a storyteller. I pick up all these stories that they have there and I tell them to tourists. And I kind of build a character that's like, he was reserved but like excited. Like there was something that was so fun.
You play a personage?
Yeah, a character, yeah.
A character?
And so
You have a text to learn in French?
I don't. There were actors
did
the theater, but I was just in this island where there's all these houses.
Okay.
Doing like, I could do whatever I
want. Oh, I understand.
As long as I stayed the theme.
Yeah.
So I built.
You're like a mascot at Walt Disney, though. You don't need to talk.
You talk. Like, you talk. You're talking to.
You talk like you're in the personage at this time.
Yeah, at this time. You have stories with everybody else on the. Yeah.
So this forced you to speak French?
Well, I'm going to school in French. At the hotel, it was 50-50 people coming.
So why you accept this gig?
Because it was, initially I wanted to be one of the characters that was going to go on the big stage there, as they were funny.
But it's not comedy.
It's like
it's not stand up.
It's not stand up. It's comedy.
It's comedy, but
it's like theater.
Experience.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Summer so, theater, yeah. Fun. You know.
Okay. Yeah. So, and
did you quit stand up, or you just tried to find your way with something else?
No,
because the club closed.
I was doing it at that restaurant with the open.
Okay.
And I was doing this, but it would punish a bit my stand-up because the character was more naive, and then when I went back,
yeah.
I wasn't real enough, or I kind of felt like it was a step. So, and I watched a lot of they were great for that type of theater, the actors there, so I watched them thoroughly.
You learned.
I would sit,
yeah.
I would like sneak out of my house and sit.
Wow.
And I knew when they were on, so.
Yeah.
And they were musicians too.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
were fun to hang out with, and you're discovering another art form too.
Yeah.
I feel like I like to mix with the other art forms and learn how they do it, because I feel like I can translate it afterwards.
Exactly. Yeah.
But so I watched them a lot, and that helped me a lot. So I went to my second year of theater.
Okay.
With this baggage.
Yes.
So I.
And you do some time comedy in the, yeah. in the restaurant.
But during the, I was still doing stand up. I was doing Pays de la Saguenay. I'm not in school because it's summer, and I picked up a bartender job. I worked as a bartender. I was so exhausted. I don't know why I kept doing all
yeah.
that.
And
so I.
You're still valet. You're not valet anymore.
No,
when I. When you took the bartender job.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So
did you the next. Year did you try audition for Just for Laugh and not Just for Laugh the School of Laugh in French?
Yeah, the second year. So I do another year of theater, and then I go to the audition. I get it.
You get it. The French audition.
The second.
The school.
The second year.
Whoa.
So now.
Why do you think you get it? Is it because of La Saguenay? Is it because of?
That helped. And another year in theaters. Cool too,
but you never really did helped. Stand up in French.
No, I was doing it. I built a night in French at the university.
Okay, it was in French.
And that was in French. So that's why. That's
okay,
why I got
understand.
Better. I got better.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
with
yeah.
French, and then I got in.
So you drove another 9 hours.
Yeah, this time I came earlier.
Earlier.
I came earlier to do shows.
Oh, how many shows you did?
I did like 4 shows before the audition.
So where was the show?
Belmont. Mathieu Cyr.
Well, Mathieu Cyr, well, Belmont,
yeah,
on Saint Laurent.
That was one of the first ones, and
wow.
And I don't remember the other. I remember.
Mais Gémeaux, Martin Turgeon.
That night, and that period, I don't remember. I remember
okay.
Belmont.
So you did 4 shows in French before your audition.
Yeah.
So you're confident now for real.
Yeah, and.
But you're a little bit scared because you body. Espresso allongé for you. Oh, you bring some a little bit milk? Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. I love that sometimes because. Merci. This is Peroni Restaurant, best place. I think it's the best comedy show in Montreal. Are you agree with in English?
I really enjoy it.
Yeah.
I haven't done it in 2 years, 2 or 3 years. So
really?
I'd love to come back.
Yeah. Ali said. JC Surette, want to come back? You want to give me a little bit, just a little bit too, right?
Of course.
Cause.
So I talk to Sid quite regularly. I do the ethnic show.
Ethnic show with Abba and Preach.
Exactly.
Oh, it's a great show. Oh, yeah.
Again. And I did some English yesterday at Bordel.
Yeah.
English shows.
The Bordel, for people who don't know, is the best comedy club in French in Canada, in the world, anyway. And they start to do 8 show. They did 8 show in English.
Yeah.
How it was?
It was amazing.
Yeah.
Because I love that place in French already.
Exactly.
And now, like, it was just
best condition.
It was just so fun to do it with comedians that I
yeah.
perform outside of
exactly.
that context. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're gonna come back with that because now you're a pro, but now and where we are, you're not a pro, but you wanna be, and you start to understand the concept of. Be a funny, it's a job. It's a full-time,
yeah.
You know,
at this point, well, I'm trying to put everything I'm trying to find all these tools.
Yeah, but you think like about that.
Theater and then think a segment and reading books.
Yeah, and you're far from Montreal. Montreal's a big city at the time for you. Yeah? You're a little kid, big town. Then you have to find some spot in French.
Yeah.
So I think Facebook just arrived at the time.
Yeah.
So it's not easy to have. You get four. So now you went there at the school. What's happened with you, the audition? How did you feel?
Well, I felt good because the night before, I did Belmont, the night before, and it went really well.
Okay.
It went really well. Whoa. The show went really well. Yes. I did my audition, and...
It was the same people at the first audition, or it was new people at the audition? Did they recognize you?
They didn't recognize me.
Okay.
I told them a little further, and I think what made the difference is the audition. Like, the jokes were good, but the audition itself, like the interview,
yeah,
you saw how
you're ready.
I was trying to find these tools and how I was taking comedy seriously. Yes. That's one of the things they look for.
Yeah, I mean, they don't want somebody just want the fame and don't put the work for the next 2 years.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
They saw you did not recognize you. But they felt like you want to be in part full time, you know.
Exactly.
So you don't know you know you feel well. You go back in New Brunswick.
I know. I waited because there was a stage. There was an internship. The way it works is everybody does the 5 minutes of a number.
Okay.
And then you have like 5 minutes talking to the three judges about why you want to go. You can ask them questions. They ask you questions. Your background, what brings you there. And after that, they select like maybe like 20 to do like a full day of a simulation of...
On how many?
On like every year, there's like 100.
Whoa.
And so a lot of people try to get in.
So you went, you are in the 20?
I'm in the 20 now.
Oh, so what's happened for you?
So,
how did you react?
I stayed over and...
Did you happy? Are you happy?
I'm ecstatic. I can't wait to do it. And then I went over and then it's a full day. I don't think I blinked once that whole day. So they make you, they give you writing exercises, improv.
You eat everything.
Yeah, and you're...
You're so hungry to learn.
Yeah.
And be part of this journey, you know?
Exactly.
So 20, 4, 12 after?
My year they took, now they take like 15.
15, okay.
My year they took 11.
So 20 to 11, how long did you wait? Because you still don't know after the 20.
So I'm staying. I stayed at my friend's house for
Go back to New York. Okay.
No, I stayed at my friend's house for like 2 weeks.
Okay.
I thank him because it was amazing.
Thanks to who?
Sayed. Thanks, Sayed.
Sayed?
Yeah.
Thanks, Sayed.
Yeah.
Okay, so
So I stayed there and then I waited for the call and I got accepted. I was still in Montreal. I left the next day, but I stayed in Montreal until I got accepted.
Really?
Yeah.
So the drive is so fun when you accepted, you know?
Now I'm telling everybody.
You tell everybody?
I'm just trying that. I'm
going to lose 15,000. Do you have the 15,000?
Back from the school?
You have to pay the 15?
My parents helped.
Thanks for the parents.
Thank you so much.
Huh? Did they believe in your project at the time?
Yeah, well, I sold the project. I was so excited. I sold it well to them.
Exactly. And they know for the next 2 years you're somewhere.
I'm doing
something. And you're not scared to move to Montreal,
parents,
right?
Parents, like for my sisters and me, they put money aside since we're kids for school. Anyway.
So it's like a school.
Yeah.
So is it tough for you to, I will say that, on roots yourself to move to Montreal?
Oh, yeah, it's scary.
Scary, yeah?
It's very scary, and I moved in.
Moving with the same guy? Or?
Yeah, he had a friend, one of his friends, Eric.
Is it still your friend?
I haven't talked to him in a while, but he's a very nice guy.
Just Eric.
So I moved in there, and now I'm living in Montreal and going to school. and I'm trying to do as many shows as I can while I'm in school.
So you move, what year you move here in Montreal?
2009. Yeah, 10 years ago.
10 years ago. How long did you take to be able to enjoy the city and start to say, you know, I don't have le mal du pays qui appelle, là, you know, the...
Oh, the first 6 months.
The first 6 months?
They were bittersweet, where I was having a blast. I was terrified because it's such hard work at the school.
Yes.
And now I'm in it.
Your brain is big. There's so many things to learn, how to live in Montreal, how to make friends, how to find spots.
Exactly.
And it's full-time, the comedy, right? You know?
And the first semester is just insane. It's just, it's an insane for 6 months. So I'm in that insane state of mind. And I'm away from home, I'm away from everything, and that's familiar to me.
Yeah.
And then I go home for Christmas, I almost, like, not a panic attack, but I'm like, now I'm like, I'm going back, but I never questioned quitting, but it was just like, I don't know what I got myself into, like, it's insane.
Okay.
And then the second semester went way smoother.
Oh yeah? Why? Why do you think?
I think it was adjusted a bit more.
Okay.
And
is it because you go back and relax? They take a recul, you know?
Because we're starting over. Like everything is done. Like all the projects that you had to submit, everything is done.
So 2 years full time school. Do you do open mic at the time?
All the time.
All the time. But the school don't want it. Remember?
They were tolerant.
Tolerant? Okay.
Because the year before me, Pierre Bruno-Rival was doing it.
Okay.
And then I was doing it in my year. I was the only one who was doing it.
Okay.
That much.
So 2 years, so 2011, you get out of the school. Do you think it was your best decision to do that?
To
go to the school?
Yeah, and the school finishes with a tour.
A tour?
We do a tour of like 40 shows in the big theaters all over Quebec.
Wow.
You just have 5 minutes, but you get a taste. You get a taste.
Yeah.
It took me like, now I started doing big theaters again, but it was like a 7 year gap that I was doing a big theater twice a year
in
Quebec.
So after that, it's done. Now you're alone.
Yeah, and
did you find a manager at the time?
Not yet. What I got coming out of school is, back home, they hired me at Radio-Canada.
Okay.
So I was a writer for 2 shows.
No way.
So I could do it from a distance because of the laptop.
Okay.
So I would send them ideas. I would punch
from where?
The Radio-Canada in Moncton.
Oh, you go back to Moncton after?
No, I'm in Montreal.
Okay.
I can do it from.
Oh, the CBC of Moncton wants you.
Yeah.
Oh.
So I have two gigs. I don't know what I'm doing. Again, I'm in an environment where I'm not comfortable.
Because you don't like that?
I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to write sketches
for
that type of...
So why you accept it? Because of the money?
Money and learning experience. I mean,
exactly.
I learned a lot from it.
So you always said yes in your life, no matter if you're ready or not. Because of... You know,
because they're off.
You're not ready for the open mic. I don't care how you sign. You know what I mean? Okay, you went to a school of comedy in French. They say no. You say, you know what? I'm gonna learn French. I'm gonna put myself. You never quit. You always.
I knew French. I was gonna learn the basics of French comedy. Not the basics of French comedy. I was just gonna. I didn't even change that much from from the English. It's just that. You have to do it.
You
have to do it to understand some of the nuances.
Yeah.
And one of the big difference in French and in English is that the vocabulary is more extended.
Yes.
In French.
Oh, you take more. You need more words to go to the punch.
Yeah, but.
But you're already bilingual. You know what I mean? I was not bilingual.
Yeah.
You're born bilingual.
Yeah.
You know.
But the luxury I feel of French is that you can create these images. You can create these images much more.
Yes, because we have more choice of words.
Yeah.
And make.
But English is a rough language.
These words are nothing.
It's the best language to have all over the world because it's
yes,
simple
sharp
and direct to the point.
Yeah,
it's a business language.
Yes. Exactly.
So that's why it's a.
So you wrote joke for two TV show.
Yeah, and when
you're not happy.
What?
But you,
I am. And I,
but you're just scared because you don't know it's working.
I'm scared. Yeah, I'm terrified. So the first one was a sketch show. So I was writing sketches. I was punching up every actor on that sketch show was also a writer. So I would try to punch up their things.
Yeah.
And the other show was a talk show. So basically what I did with that is I kind of punched up the questions for the guests.
Yeah.
And I did the monologue.
Oh.
I would write the monologue, the opening monologue. So I would just try to find.
So how long did you do that?
A year.
A year?
Maybe 8 months.
So you make money, so you're
I'm
comfortable.
It's good money.
Good money for an opener, open micer. But you still continue to do open mic?
Yeah, and now I have a day job that's writing jokes.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm getting it, and right out of school they have a service that a booking agency through the school.
Okay.
And they pick out like the.
So to give you a corporate.
Yeah. So, but it's like 10 minutes.
Yes.
But I'm getting a lot of them.
Yes.
That I've done well in tour, so I'm getting a lot of these gigs. And I'm getting that for the whole year. So I'm doing corporates, not corporates like when you do an hour, but.
No, corporates, good money, 10 minutes with other comic.
Yeah, and I'm, this Radio Canada job is kind of helping me. Like,
yes, secure yourself because it's an unsecured job. You never know when you're gonna get paid.
First, yeah.
So you start well, so it's fine. So,
yeah.
So
but it's,
the 15,000,
I was starting, but I was also like, It had been like 4 years now.
No, I know.
I'm out of school, but I've been doing it for four years.
Yeah. So at that time, what was your next goal when you start to be in French? Did you start to do comedy in English too there at the time? Were you just focused on French?
When I was in school, I was mostly doing English.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, because I feel...
So you are the comedy in French, but you do English show.
Yeah, I was at every open mic. It was best of open mic.
Yeah.
I think I was still in school. I was starting to get weekends because I won best of open mic.
Yes, I was there.
So I was
the comedy works you talk?
Yeah. And I was doing the Nasty every now and then.
Yeah.
I was trying to get all of those open mics because I feel in French, now they have an open mic circuit.
Yes.
And they
at
have,
the time,
and
no.
And they have a circuit where you get in and you're playing everywhere.
Yeah.
It's harder to get in that, I feel, but I was getting into that and... It's easier to get spots in English.
It's easy to ever get spots in English, you're right, because the market is smaller.
Yeah.
And nobody care about the open mic because nobody's there. In French, open mic, it's always $25, two beer, you know, and you have a great crowd. In English, you have to bring people, no money, you know what I mean? So so it's not cool, but you want to learn.
Yeah.
You want to come back with the yucks. At the time, at your home, to continue that.
Yeah, and to me, French or English.
Exactly, stage time is stage time.
Yeah.
So at the time, okay, you do English, you make money because you script for the two shows.
Yeah.
What is your goal now? Because now you're inside.
It's to and keep doing it.
Keep doing it, but
there's
no goal, no manager, or you want to do just for laugh, or... You just
like all these things, like every time they popped up, I'm like, yes, I want it. But I didn't have I feel like we're living the dream.
Yeah.
Performing all the
time. I know.
I mean, I do set objectives, and I set objectives for material wise, and I have a new amount of material for.
Yeah.
And it's important to set objectives, but it's also important to feel lucky that we're doing it.
Oh, you're grateful. I'm very grateful. Are you grateful?
Yeah.
Did you ever?
I think I have to pinch myself.
Did you ever quit?
No.
Never thought about, okay, it's done for me in the 12 years?
No.
So, because you know what is fun with this job? It's never done. If somebody said, I know I'm here, you know, I touched the
It's a great way to
go. It's a great way to
the ceiling.
I touch the ceiling. I'm at the best I can. You know, it's impossible.
Well, I feel some people do.
Some people, they're
content.
Yeah.
I'm good enough to work.
Yeah. I don't need open mic anymore. You know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I remember when you went to the Grumpy's together, and I left before because they start at 11:30.
Yeah.
So because Grumpy's is the worst place ever, but it's the best.
But we love it.
Exactly. But I said that before.
Yeah.
But it's the best to learn. You know?
Yeah.
How did you feel? Because now you are in the comfortable zone.
Yeah.
You don't suffer anymore. You know? So no. When you arrive at the Grumpy's, I remember. You remember your feeling?
This time or the like the
last time we saw her together?
Yeah. But the difference was, I used to do that show and care if I
bomb or not,
bomb or kill.
Yeah.
I want to kill. I'm like, I can get them. I can get them. And there's so many factors. It's loud. It's people are really drunk. It's late.
Yeah.
They don't give a shit about you.
Exactly.
And you're thinking, I'm gonna turn that around.
Yeah.
I'm gonna turn that around. And try and sometimes you succeeded.
Yeah.
Sometimes those were the toughest nights. Going back home. No, not this time.
Yeah.
But when I was starting and I was doing yoga.
Yeah.
When I was getting shaped, I would be on the bus almost crying. Like
crying?
Not crying, but like I have.
No, I know what you mean.
I'm just like.
Yeah. Quit. I'm gonna quit.
It was never quitting.
Nope.
I had school the next day. I'm like, I'm going home. It's 2 a.m. I'm tired. It didn't do anything. Like I didn't change anything. I just bombed, and now I feel like I suck. I feel like my confidence is shattered.
Yeah,
it's a constant like power up of confidence.
Yeah,
it definitely humbles us.
Yes,
constantly.
For the ego is good.
So
how was your ego last time?
But this time,
oh, you just enjoyed the ride.
I enjoyed it, and actually, there was one guy who was laughing really loud.
Yeah,
you remember that guy?
Yeah,
he was helping.
Yeah,
and everybody kind of like they paid attention and they were laughing. So,
yeah,
and I just plowed through. I didn't pay attention that it
no,
was
you, 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 you,
I used to stop and be like,
hey, I'm here, and I have something.
And then you lose all.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You're not sympathetic.
No, I know.
And everybody's just like,
yeah, all the coming
are
to.
You had fun? Yeah.
Yeah. So you enjoyed the.
I didn't enjoy it, but I.
No, enjoy the way all you think now.
Yeah.
Who cares?
But I left after that, and I talked to the comedians, and it was just like. A regular show. It didn't feel like, because I feel like now, like every show I do, I take in consideration all these factors, and I try to like, did I get anything out of it? I record them. Yeah, I even recorded that just to see like.
Okay.
Like, if ever there's a jam or if ever something happens, I'll listen to it, and I'll try to figure out a way like what should I have done.
Yeah.
And the more I do that, the more these situations don't reinvent themselves.
Yeah.
They just happen again.
Yeah.
So if you kind of went through the process of reevaluating how you did it.
Yes. Right?
And also like just a specific bit, like how's the rhythm in that joke with that crowd.
Yeah.
Knowing how they are.
Yeah.
I feel like it makes everything grow.
You have, because you have so much experience, you know the balance about what is killing and what is bombing and the reason why.
But
the goal when you go to the Grand Prix is just to go to the gym, you know? Who cares if you have a standing ovation there?
Yeah.
Who cares if you bomb?
Exactly.
You know, it's just a muscle to keep you sharp. And me, because I know where you are now. You're a superstar in French. You know what I mean? You take your pet in the patch. You have your patch. You know, you're funny. You know what I mean? But I think you, because we have a great discussion like that, and I think you're too much comfortable, and I said, why you don't come at the Grand Prix, you know?
Yeah.
And it's good for the ego, you know, to remember where you're from, how you suffered before to be comfortable. Like,
you know what I felt that it was? I feel like, yes, it's going to take me out of a comfort zone. And I still do some corporates that are like that. We were talking about corporates, that how Grumpy's help for the corporates.
Yes.
And what I feel about doing shows like that, I wouldn't have just done that show that night.
Okay.
If I had no shows, I wouldn't have taken my night to just do that show.
Okay, you did the show before, huh?
I was at
the Bordel.
And I did another show. I did 3 shows.
Okay. So what do you mean? You will never do the Grand Prix if you had no show before?
Because I don't feel it's helping me
anymore.
Anymore. Like it helps. Like, and I'm not spitting on it, but no. I just feel like I don't need to try to conquer audiences.
Okay.
When I'm
No, I know. It's why I said it. I just want you come set to your ego.
Yeah.
Oh, you're grateful you should, because the ego always unsatisfied.
But
you know what I mean?
The thing I want out of an open mic.
Yes.
A regular show, if I'm getting paid,
yeah.
I'll deal with all these things. I'll fight.
Yeah.
But an open mic.
But we don't have open mic like that in French.
There are
grumpies.
Not no. necessarily grumpies, but
you know what I mean.
Yeah.
We don't in but, French. We don't have grumpies comedy.
But
it's impossible.
The thing I want out of an open mic is I want a place where I'll be able to work out the bits.
Yeah.
I don't want to work on trying to.
Impossible
like
to work
all the time. I'll do it if.
Yeah.
If I have something
I
else.
Understand.
Because
the grumpy is
going to war.
Yeah, the grumpy is just to go on stage.
You're going to war.
Exactly. Go to the war. Exactly.
So, but if I have no other show, I don't know if I take the. Because sometimes.
I understand. No, you don't need to justify yourself, but.
I'm discussing why.
No, man, because we talk about, like, I'm here, I don't need that. You have the choice now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You don't need to go there. You just said you did two shows before, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But because we have a great discussion, I said, let's go to the Grumpies.
Yeah.
Remind us where we're from.
Exactly.
And be grateful for where you are now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I put always here a stool. Maybe you don't see the stool here, but I have a look at that. Is it something for you important in your...
Yeah.
When you go on stage?
But before I go to the stool, I had an idea that I really wanted to... Because
okay.
We were talking about bombing and killing.
Yeah.
I feel bombing and killing, the more you do it, the more the gray zone is larger. Because of how...
Oh, it's good, the metaphor.
So
I love
many,
the metaphor, yeah.
So many experiences to...
Yeah.
Like, it's rare that I'm thinking it was perfect. It's always like... Either here,
yeah.
The zone is.
It's rarely.
And it's never here. It can't.
It's never here anymore.
It's been like.
No, I know. You have to go to the Grumpies if you want to feel that now in your career.
I've shows that were worse than Grumpy.
Oh, yeah.
In my life.
Oh, yeah, because you have to. Yeah.
Shows.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so what do you mean? It's like this is killing.
This
is bombing.
This is killing, this is bombing.
Okay.
In your mind.
Yeah.
Like, you might be killing more. You're obviously killing more now than you were 7 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
But that kill felt like this.
Yeah.
Now it feels like this.
Yes.
So, as much as like you don't feel,
you
oh,
don't take
shit,
that.
I
you don't
take it
you,
so personally.
You don't have the big L when you have when you kill, and you're not too much stuck with
be,
yourself
it,
when you bomb.
And it shouldn't be that. It's normal.
Yeah.
It's just
And
I am still happy, but I'm not ecstatic. Like
no.
I started. When I started, I'd have a great show and I. Like
no, man. No, me take it. You have to take it.
And if you,
but after midnight,
it's
done.
Yeah.
But you, I hope you take it when you kill.
Oh, yeah, and but it's just different. Like I'm just I'm happy.
Because before, when you kill, you keep that for the next 2 months.
And you should. You should stay confident. But then.
But not cocky,
you
know.
Then you crash.
Yeah, not same
and
thing.
Then you crash, and that's hard. And I think a lot of new comedians need help with that.
Yes.
Because it's hard to bomb.
Yes.
It's hard on the. It's hard on the ego, it's hard on the self, but it does humble you, but it is difficult to take.
Yeah. Sorry, it's because they talk loud.
No,
and
it's okay.
I don't like when I ask for to, you know, I want to be sure, you know, we have a great discussion, and when my mic, I don't want to keep that.
Yeah.
And another girl arrived, so it's not very good. So what is the stand for you?
This stool, this is, it's comforting. It's like you...
Is it something you represent comedy for you, or just
to
put your water?
Well, I put my phone now.
Put your phone to record yourself?
I record it and have the time.
The time?
I just kind of, and I won't stare at it, but I'll do a bit. I have spots in certain bits where I kind of can just glance.
Yeah.
So it's like your sidekick. It's like
R2-D2. It's R2-D2 of comedy. Wow. Amazing metaphor. And this, is it C3PO? Do you use the stand?
I sometimes I'll do this, but I'll try to put it away. Because when, if it's near me, I'll
okay.
I'll
so why it. When you touch it, is it because you're confident or you're stressed? Or
because I'm getting out of the bit.
What do you mean?
If I'm not in the bit and I'm talking to people where I'm trying to get back, there's something comforting and like, I'm not in the joke right now. It's okay. like a Dryden.
So if
like it's... like you know the picture with Ken Dryden going like this?
Yeah.
That's how he rested?
The game
I
stopped.
I feel like it's like, no, it's not tough, it's just you.
No, but the game stopped. Like, oh, you wait for the game to restart.
Yeah.
So when like what, when you host?
Hosting or when I'm, like something happens and I'll get out of the bit and I'll ask a question and I'm waiting. I feel like you're waiting for the answer and you're thinking.
Yes.
There's something about, like you're driving. It's like,
yes.
Shifting.
Okay, you put the you don't touch the metal. You put on the top. Yeah. Like that.
Adjusted. Yeah.
Okay. So, how much time did you take to be comfortable on stage?
I don't know.
Are you comfortable now?
Yeah.
Do you think you could be more comfortable?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Like.
So when did you realize you're a professional, you know?
When I started getting paid, I guess. Like, and it's... And when I started being consistent.
Consistent? Did you... Not the industry, when the industry said you're the power of the team. Somebody said I do a Just for Laugh gala, I'm gonna be.
I think it's tiny victories. Yes. It's just tiny victories here and there.
What is your best victory for you personally?
I'm really happy about opening for Simon Gouache in theaters all over.
Opening for Simon Gouache. Simon Gouache is a superstar in French.
Yeah.
And you're opening for him in the big theater.
Big theaters that are sold out, and that's one of the big victories. Another big victory I feel is I'm a regular at Bordel.
Regular at the Bordel. What means regular at Bordel? Means you do the weekend?
Yeah, I'm on the weekend.
Wow.
The weekend shows and pretty regularly. So they'll call me like, and I feel like that's it. Like you said, it's nicest comedy club.
Oh yeah,
it's
French, fun. Yeah,
in the world.
Yeah, in the world.
And to be a regular there, I feel like
you feel part of the family.
Yeah.
And you have some medium big goal and a big X on your calendar.
Starting my one man show.
So you're okay. So
another victory would be when every time frame that I got when I started doing 15s and I was regular on the circuit around Quebec or in English,
yes.
Italy.
Yes.
When I got to that level, that was a victory. When I got to headline. That was another victory. And then just a time frame, like doing half an hour, doing 45
yes.
minutes, doing an hour.
Yes.
Like just getting through that time.
Yes.
With jokes and with construction, and then you get better at that time
yes.
frame. Like now an hour feels like what 15 minutes was
yes.
7 years ago.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
How like I'm playing a puzzle.
Yeah. When you say headlining, is it in French or is it in English?
Both.
So you headline in French and English?
Yeah.
You have, so is it the same material?
Pretty much.
Pretty much? Same order or in general?
No, that's the thing that keeps changing.
Yes.
And I can't stop changing it and eventually I'm gonna have to lock it.
Yeah.
If it's a one-man show, I have to lock it.
So one-man show is your goal?
Right now it's a goal, but it's also...
In French or in English?
Both.
Okay, so you want to do, wow.
Yeah.
So what is your biggest achievement in your career from now you are so happy to
have done a certain thing?
Yeah. What is your most thing? You know, example, if I said, I'm going to do a show, I said, what do you want me to say when I'm going to present you on stage? What do you know?
Yeah, no. I can't single out one
is
thing.
Is it you made Just for Laugh? Is it... He has his one-man show, but we are lucky to have him for a spot. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's a great question, but I can't single out a thing.
Okay.
I'm just happy to keep, things keep happening.
Okay.
Things keep happening.
Still there. Still in the journey.
In the journey,
yes.
And with, like, amazing gigs. Like
Yeah.
From touring with Simo, I'm getting a lot of gigs from
yes.
where we went because it's 800 people.
800 people, three nights in Ottawa you did.
Yeah, and sometimes it's like 1,000,
wow.
400 in Quebec.
So you want that?
And now I'm starting to crave it because I do 15.
You do 15 that, before him?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I watch him. I can watch him and I see how.
Please. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, continue. We record it. Thank you. Can you please tell them?
Oh my God.
Oh my God, what? Okay, sorry. They talk like this. Okay, they talk loud. Yes, I said shh. Yes, I said this. So listen, so what is your goal? So do 15 minutes. 15 minutes to do a... Please. So listen, so 15 minutes, is it something great to for you? Or are you...
I kind of feel like I want to do this for a while still. Like I'm not ready to... because I'm not ready, but it's giving me a lot of exposure. It's giving me confidence to play on that.
Because all the big scenes saw you do the 15 minute.
Yeah.
Because it's one like that.
So yeah, so I get hired from that show. People like will message me and like, hey, we have a corporate in 2 weeks or in like a month.
But how did you get this gig?
From Baldad. So
okay,
what Baldad does is like you're playing with the best comedians.
Yeah.
Concert Big Fairy's there.
All the top comics.
Yeah, and they're there and they kind of see you evolve and you see...
You told me you get the commercial because of you play at the Bordel.
Yeah.
It's Super C
Groceries. Super C. I was at Bordel on a Saturday and these people from a marketing agency, they just finished work on... It was a Friday. They just finished work. And they went to another bar, they went to eat, they went to Parc du Quartier Latin to eat and have just a drink. And then they got tickets, they just got in and they got tickets and they watched the show. And
After the show, someone
came and gave me a card and said, we're going to call you on Saturday. They called me, I had an audition on the Monday. On the Tuesday, I had it and I was filming it.
No audition?
No, I auditioned. But
they already want you.
Yeah, they told me like we really want you, and it was with Rigaldo Trogi.
Okay. Yeah. You the voiceover.
And he was there. He was the director.
So are you thinking you're gonna do another one with the Super C?
Maybe.
Because like it's the concept was you have so many bags, and you go to try to go open the door with your bag. Is it something you want to do that more? Did you feel comfortable?
Yeah, and it was a great experience. I was there for half a day.
Okay.
And then the exposure from it.
The money,
yeah, it's a good part of it. But the exposure, like you're on TV, like sometimes I would pass during Tout le monde en parle, which is the biggest show in Quebec.
Okay. Oh, the commercial passed during the Tout le monde en parle.
And other shows. It went on a few channels and... It would pass.
It's still on, huh?
During a hockey game, during the halves.
I think if they keep back, you're gonna have another pay. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but they didn't renew it. I thought they.
Okay,
maybe it's a cycle because they had three of that kind. Maybe they'll put it back later, but it's not on right now.
Okay, so is it something you focus on, or just like you're lucky because you? They offer you a commercial. Is it something you focus on, or your ultimate goal is to be a comedian?
My ultimate goal is to be a comedian.
So if somebody asks you to write a show, you're going to say yes, or are you going to say no, because
it depends on what the project
okay.
is. But I am really happy with doing just comedy.
Okay.
My goal is to just do stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I take these other projects because sometimes they pay, and sometimes it's going to benefit my stand-up.
Yeah.
Like when I was taking theater and when I was taking a job at the Pays de la Saguenay
where
I learned to keep people for like 45 minutes with stories.
Yeah.
Not necessarily like a stand-up set, but
yeah.
I would make them laugh and keep them for 45.
So for people who don't know you, what is your style when you're on stage? Are you a storyteller? Are you a one punchline or observation? You're a stand-up guy, or what?
I think it's a mix of all that.
Okay.
I, lot of people don't think I'm a storyteller, but I like to punch a lot.
You're a punchliner, storyteller, punchline, eh?
Now that I've like you don't, accumulated more punchlines, I try to put them in a story.
Why you say a coq à l'âne?
You know not so much anymore.
You're not that.
Yeah. I used to be more in that range where I would do a joke, change the subject. Now I feel like I kind of have a line.
Yeah.
In it, and it's observations. It's observations. My daily journey, my daily life is just to notice things and then try to make them funny.
Do you like where you are now? In your position in the world of comedy?
Yes. I have dreams of going to the States and
oh yeah,
and
where? New York, LA?
I'd love to go to New York.
Okay.
But I'm so happy here too. Like, and what's nice about New York is it's not that far.
6 hours.
Yeah.
So the goal for that?
But the goal,
just to try?
The goal is I love traveling. And I love working as a comedian. So, and when you go to another city, like I was just in Ottawa, it's just a different vibe. And,
yes.
And you're
push
you're
yourself
coming with your tools.
Exactly.
You got your tools, and you're working in that environment.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah.
And I like that. I like being in the same environment, but I like putting myself in danger. And
do you like more to do comedy in French or in English? What?
I don't have a preference.
No.
No.
You know, forget the money, you know, but
yeah, I don't have a preference.
Just come. No way.
I want to play. I want to.
So why you don't learn Spanish?
Yeah, it'll take time. Yeah, and I don't know if the investment prior, and not the investment, but how many gigs there are in Spanish.
No, no, I know.
For like,
but you know, Santi Espinoza.
Yeah.
He started to do a comedy in Spanish. I think in New York.
Yeah.
But New York is New York. You know, did you play in New York?
Not yet.
I did. It's another world.
Yeah.
It's another muscle too. You know,
yeah.
I did LA. It's another world. Yeah. Just Ottawa or Mississauga or Toronto.
Yeah.
It's you have to invest time and energy. You know, because it's another community.
Exactly.
Comment ça s'intégrer?
Yeah.
I would say that in English, s'intégrer,
integrate,
integration.
Yeah.
So. So you're not scared anymore of comedy. Why?
What I like about Montreal is I can come home after, you know.
Yeah.
When you're traveling, and it's great to travel, but that's maybe the comfort I
yeah, because
enjoy.
Yeah, we are lucky. We have two languages in Montreal, two business in Montreal.
Yeah.
Are you at the Just for Laughs this summer?
I'm doing my one-man show.
One-man
show?
No way.
Yeah, I'm doing three in French.
Okay.
Next week. So
three show in French of what, 1 hour?
15, 16, and 17 of July in French.
Wow.
And 18, 19, 20 in English.
Whoa, six show back-to-back, three time in French, three time in English. Are you grateful? Are you happy?
I'm happy, yeah.
Yeah?
I'm always...
You're ready? Are you ready?
I'm always happy to see my calendar...
Full.
Like, full.
Oh, yeah,
like
yeah.
It's like reassuring. You're like, okay, I'm working.
Yeah.
So and I want to do my hour and a half more often. I'm trying to pitch it out there and just do it. It's, the more you do it, the more it's another muscle.
Yeah.
It's another muscle completely to take open.
Are you
staying?
But are you the more difficulty in French or in English with the muscle?
I feel like I do it more in French. So when I go back to English,
yes.
I feel like it's like. All right, let's go.
Me,
I was so lost
in French when I came back to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
It's my first language and I was lost.
Yeah,
the rhythm and the my punchline was, it's not coming.
Yeah.
And sometimes I say words in English, I say, that's purple, wow.
So yeah, no, I don't feel more comfortable in one or the other. If I'm doing one like a lot, then yeah, I'm more comfortable at that time.
Yeah,
but
because three in French, three in English.
Yeah,
it's a big festival for you. And do you still watching other comics during the Just for Laughs festival?
I try to, but
okay.
I watch comics when I'm on that show.
Yeah,
it's hard to get out and go see a show.
Yeah.
But especially the English side, because I don't see them that often. In the French world, I'll perform with them.
Yeah.
So I'll just wait to perform with them to watch them, and I love watching other comedians because you learn.
Yeah,
but the English ones, they're more rare to see them live, so I'll probably go see a few shows.
It's a great story, man. The first word I have when I saw you, it's perseverance. And no matter how you are in, I would say cul-de-sac.
Yeah.
What is cul-de-sac in English?
Dead end.
Dead end. You figure it out, you know. No, you have a place, because comedy, it's not a road of like the NHL, like Pee Wee, you know, you play Bantam, Midget, American, and maybe you have in the NHL.
Yeah.
You have to find your NHL, you know, and it's never give up.
Yeah.
It's always try to be better, take everything you can to be better on stage, no matter what, it's like a theater, you know, eat that, being hungry all the time, the move to Montreal, you know, and fight with what you think, you know, and you're, like you said, you're a reserve guy, and you find a way to the wall of comedy, and it's not easy, and people respect you, and you're funny, and you're a great guy. I'm very happy you accept to explain your story in my podcast.
Yeah,
before you go, Baldy, I want to know the question. Do you think the Expo are back?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, I think they're back.
You know a little bit?
A little bit of the story, and now with the race.
The race, for people who don't know the race.
I think it's coming.
41 games here in a small in Griffintown.
Yeah.
Are you a baseball fan, or do you love baseball?
I bandwagon.
What is bandwagon?
When the Jays were doing really well.
Yeah.
I would watch full games, and I'd be
on TV.
Yeah.
Wow. And you went there?
I didn't go.
Did you see the Expo in the past?
Yeah.
Oh no, you arrived in
2000. No, but I saw them. I came to Montreal with my dad.
No way.
I saw them against the Pirates at
The Pirates with your dad?
Yeah.
You saw a baseball game with your dad at the stadium, Olympic Stadium.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah. But I'm a baseball fan when
they are good.
When they're good, and
like you're a fan of Montreal Canadiens when they're good. So you're not a fan for the last 10 years.
Habs, I'm a fan.
Okay, no matter if they lost or not.
No matter, like,
okay,
if it's going terrible.
Yes.
I'm watching anyways.
Okay.
I'm trying to.
Yeah, yeah. So you watch the Raptors because they were good.
Bandwagon.
Bandwagon. This is mean.
Baseball and basketball, I'm a bandwagon.
Okay.
If there's something like the Raptors or if the Expos came back, I'd probably follow them a bit more though.
Yeah.
But
did you see a baseball game at the Blue Jays, the Rogers Center?
No.
Never went there. You never went to another stadium than the Olympic Stadium.
I haven't seen a game in 25
years. But you feel the Expo, you're gonna be back.
Yeah.
And you're gonna be there if they come.
I'm gonna go watch them.
Oh, sure. Yes.
But in my sports, I'm a huge NFL fan.
NFL fan? Okay.
What's
your favorite team?
I like betting on football, so I just have.
Well, you don't have a favorite team?
Maybe Kansas City.
Kansas City because of French Canadian?
French Canadian, and I like the story of it. I like the quarterback, how he's like a backyard quarterback.
Oh, the new the new Malone?
Yeah.
Is it Malone? The rookie?
Yeah.
Me, my favorite team is the Seahawks. With Russell.
Yeah.
Eh? Do you like Russell?
They're fun to watch. They're fun to watch. A couple Super Bowls ago.
Yeah, the worst Super Bowl ever.
Yeah.
Remember? Give the ball to Marshawn Lynch. No, they throw in the middle. And I think football is fixed, but this is another podcast. Man, merci beaucoup. Are you happy?
Yeah.
You have something else you want to talk, or you think we know everything about GC Surette?
Well, we talked a lot about the stage and getting to certain places.
Yeah.
But to me, comedy is the writing.
The writing. Like,
that's I love being on stage, but to me, being on stage is like the.
Is it like crop of like the cream?
You're going downhill and skiing. If you know how to ski, it's not simple, but it's fun and it's.
Yeah, you need the thing to go up, the right thing.
How you went up and how.
So how you write? Do you write every day?
Every day.
Every morning, every night, after a show.
All the time.
Oh, so you always rewrite?
If I have something, I'll.
Do you write with a pen or you took your computer?
Both. And I voice my.
Voice my, okay.
So I'll go through streaks where I'm writing in a notebook. I'll go through streaks where I'm just typing a lot and conversations too. Like with certain ideas, like I'll talk them out to my girlfriend. she'll kind of ask me questions, and I'll kind of grow them from that. She'll kind of find like ask me questions or give me certain information on that, or what she thinks of that.
Yeah.
And as a few other comic friends that when you're on the road.
So because you learned that at school, the process to write.
I learned it at school, but
is
I
it,
also
is it the same process you use? The tool they give you at the school, do you still use it, or you find your way to write?
To say that I'm not using it would be a lie, because it started from that.
And it's 2 years full time, you know?
And one of my favorite courses was creativity. We have a creativity class where it's like brainstorm techniques, and it kind of spiraled from that. Okay. Just finding new ways to make lists, like just every single idea about that subject, and then kind of making connections, and like, oh, these two things kind of, interesting to put them together.
Yeah.
And the process, and that's not my favorite part, but equally to doing shows and having a reaction.
How many chances do you give for a joke?
I never throw away anything. That's one of the
first
tips.
But are you patient with the joke? You know what I mean?
I like to meditate on it. Like, I like to just...
Because me too, I don't throw the joke, but sometimes, you know, I do three times, and after three times, I said, you know what? I'm not ready. I'm going to put that on and take the joke later, because, you know, I can't find the good... I don't know where to put in...
I have boxes.
You have a box?
No, I have, like, a full table with binders and notebooks, and then boxes was just like scribbled.
Wow.
And then every now and then I go through them and I try to, this joke come back.
Yeah.
It's not written the same. This was like in 2010, and this one's in 2014. I tried to fix it. It was a bit better, and now I know how to fix it.
Yeah.
Not fix it, but I know where I want to go with this. My point of view is clearer. My writing has improved.
Yeah.
So, and my editing has improved, and it's mostly you should write like a shit.
Yeah, because you can't
judge yourself. And
exactly.
But your editor, that's the comic.
I know, but you can write a joke and not assume on stage, you know?
It's because it's not ready.
You know,
it's
exactly.
It's not clear. It's
exactly, but I think you need both. Both are important.
Yeah.
It's not just the joke. You know, you can write the best joke ever. It's the way you're going to sell it.
Yeah, if it doesn't fit with you.
Exactly. Do you sell jokes? Do you give jokes? Or
no? Because I feel like I'm gonna use it.
You focus on focus on yourself all the time.
And
now you have to write a one man show.
Yeah, and I want to start.
How much
I want to start running the second one as
second one before.
Well, I want to lock it.
Yeah.
But I want to stop writing jokes.
Okay.
So I'll be performing that one and kind of fixing it.
Yeah.
But writing new jokes. Just to have something when this one, like, I've done it enough.
Yeah.
You know, but, and I want to do that like that because I don't want to stop writing.
You know.
I like that.
How long you keep a joke in your 45 minute?
I have some jokes that I have had since.
Okay, you don't,
I don't like, but it always grows. There's always something that kind of tweaks and like it.
Yes.
But to me, these are like a band. If you're a band and you have
exactly your best,
songs,
exactly.
Classic song, and you, why not? And you, of course, you have to have new stuff and like a new thing coming.
Yeah.
That's why I want to do this, which is like the stuff I've been writing for 12 years.
Yes. So
and have been like something I wrote in like a year.
So what you gonna? What you should say for the people who want to be a comedian about the writing? You know, c'est quoi le conseil? What is the tip you can give to the people? Like, you wrote every day no matter what?
Seinfeld has a calendar, he does X's on it.
Okay.
And that, like, shows him, like, I've written every day for the last 3 weeks.
Okay.
And, like, you can see it physically. But, write every day. But one of the things I did for a few years, I want to start doing it again because it helps have momentum during the day.
Yeah.
Is I wrote 3 pages first thing in the morning. So I would wake up.
Wow.
And I write 3 pages, but the rule with the 3 pages.
Yes, the rule of the 3 pages.
Is to, you can't stop. You're writing shit. It's shit. It's not good.
Okay.
It's just,
so you wrote, I'm writing something for nothing. You wrote anything?
Right. It's way too early.
What's going to happen?
It's just that every day you do that.
Oh, okay. It's like the open mic. It's like you go on stage.
It's the open mic, but it's also just getting the crap out.
And then to write every day, no matter what, until you said, "Oh, I have something."
But when I do the three pages, and I have a good idea that comes out of it, I put an X next to it.
Okay.
And then when I'm reading all these, because I have, because I did it for years. Yeah. I'll just go see the X, and I'm like,
Because sometimes a joke, it's not necessarily the punch. It's the idea.
It's always
there. You know,
Chris Rock is best example for that, how it's ideas. It's like Chris Rock, the premise is so important. The punchline is gonna come. The punchline is just a twist.
I know. I agree.
It's just like a proving your point.
Yeah.
But the everything is in the premise.
Yes.
The punch.
There exactly.
The punch will come. The punch is the fun.
The reason is not the punch. You're right. It's why you want to make me laugh with that. It's because of something I arrive in my life. Yeah. Oh yeah, what?
And I'm scarred.
Yeah. Man, thank you so much for your generosity, ladies and gentlemen. JC Suret Bardet.
Nice.
I think you deserve a beer. You want to take a beer with me, man?
Sure, sure.
Because it's grumpy tonight. Are you coming, man?
Yeah, maybe.
All right. Thank you so much.
Yes, I'm coming.